Welcome to Season 2, Episode 14 of ChrisCast. I realized that it had been a bit of time, months and months, between the Episode 12 and Episode 13, so I want to make sure that I just do what I intended to do in the first place, which is to make short, quick episodes dealing with just a single topic. And I think that I'm going to be talking about my double secret bag obsession. I'll be talking about my double secret running shoe obsession and all those things. Oh, and my obsession with bucket hats and bush boonie hats. and kettlebells. But now I am just going to introduce you to what spin classes are about for those of you who might not be into it, those of you who have preconceived notions of what it is, and I'll give you an example based on distant memory and recent memory what two spin classes are like, and maybe a couple instances of what a couple different instructors are like, okay? So I will tell you all about that after this short message. Welcome back to ChrisCast, Season 2, Episode 14, about spin classes. Well, I didn't do this at all, ever, until I dated a girl named Betsy, and she was obsessed with barre, B-A-R-R-E, which is, and maybe even be B-A-R-R-E accent aigu, but I think it's just B-A-R-R-E because it's not barre. Which is some variation of ballet training where there is a bar on the wall and also floor work. But this is about spin. So she took me to a class. She took me to classes on Capitol Hill on, I think, 8th Street? No, 7th Street. And it's a studio called 8th Street Southeast called Ballet Bar. Sorry, called, that's the name of the sport, Ballet Bar. But she took me to this place called Cycle Bar. And Cycle Bar upstairs was a ballet studio, a ballet bar studio, and downstairs it was a spin studio. And it was all in a townhouse. And or not a townhouse, it was sort of storefront, but you know, those DC two-level storefronts, three-level storefronts that are relatively narrow, made out of brick, and relatively integrated into Capitol Hill type architecture. Anyway, she took me there. I was reticent at first. I had been a bike courier. I had owned bicycles since I was a little kid. I had even raced mountain bikes in the late 80s, early 90s. And so what could go wrong? Except I was over 300 pounds, maybe 285, 290, 300 pounds. And my experience of spin classes was basically whatever I knew about SoulCycle, right? So this highly competitive, highly super athletic, a bunch of beautiful Italian greyhounds sculpting and making, you know, beautiful bodies for miles. And maybe as a result, a judgmental place for a big, ponderous guy who doesn't really seem to belong in that environment. But au contraire, while Biker Bar was definitely a bunch of regulars, lots of fit girls, and mostly I was the only guy at Biker Bar, it was thoroughly enjoyable because I said in the last episode, all the rides were in the dark with just a few interspersed electric candles, and the bikes at that point were analog. There were no competitive screens, and if you don't know anything about spin class, it's all about the beat, it's all about the music. An entire spin class is based on, in general, a Spotify playlist that the instructors tend to share afterwards with whoever wants to join their Spotify share list. Or at least that's how it goes mostly at Cycle Bar, which is the next place I went to. So I went to that number of times, and it's only as hard as you make it. And I'll go into more details about Cycle Bar, but it is basically a 45-minute combination of HIIT, H-I-I-T, high-intensity interval training, interspersed with a long warm-up and a little bit of a cool-down. In other words, and in between, at least at Cycle Bar, they have a section where you use weighted bars to do a little bit of upper body lifting, if you will, very light weights, 2, 4, 6, 8 pounds, I think. And you can combine them, and that's about 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes out of the 45. And then a free ride generally, and then you're done. And by the time you're done, you're probably completely full of sweat, completely soaked. If you took your shirt off, I wear a cotton t-shirt and a cotton terry cloth headband. You can wring them out and water will cascade, or at least it's like draining it's like draining a dish rag after it falls into the sink. most spin bars do rent towels, and they do rent or give you towels, and they do rent shoes, a lot of them. I know Cycle Bar does. As part of your ride, you get the shoes, just like I believe the way bowling centers, whatever they're called, bowling halls, bowling alleys do. So that was awesome. That was a great introduction. And then after Betsy and I stopped doing that, we focused mostly on running until she... I believe she got shin splints or something like that. Anyway, now I think she's 100% yoga. But that being said, it's been years. And then I saw a club opening on Columbia Pike, right near Glebe, right near the Chipotle on Glebe and in Courthouse and Columbia Pike. And it was called Cycle Bar. And it looked expensive. It looked as expensive as a SoulCycle or a Orange Theory or a Solid Core. Those are expensive clubs. And then I took note of it in my head. And then I eventually went in and asked the lady if I could, the owner's Marina. And back in those days, didn't have a lot of money on me. So I asked if I could ride for free in trade for some like blogs and stuff. And she obliged. At that point, the classes were chock-a-block with bikes, right? There were more than 12. There were 50, 40 bikes, I think, in there. Huge revenue producer. So allowing a 48-year-old, 49-year-old fat guy who has a strong followership on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram wasn't stupid. So I did that until my heart popped into AFib, and then I got freaked out and stopped doing that and reserved myself to walking and very light rowing. The reason why I stopped at biker at a cycle bar is because I can't trust myself on just keeping an easy ride. So let me tell you about what it's like at cycle bar. So it's not that expensive. It's $150. There's a promotion, $119 for a month of your first month of unlimited riding. There's only 12 bikes in every studio right now. It's very, very clean, very fancy. You enter the door. It's a very big storefront. You enter the door and there's a counter right in front of you where you check in, and the person at the counter takes your temperature via a temperature gun, and then checks you in, asks you if you need any shoes, tells you what bike you're on. To the left, there's a little bit of a boutique for Cycle Bar branded gear and shoes and stuff. There used to be a check-in area over there, but now that's too touchy-feely, and I think they really want you to check in using your app, which I might try to do today. So you enter there, you take a right after you get your shoes or pay or check in. You've got your bike assignment, you've got your class. It's recommended before your first ride that you arrive 15 to 10 minutes early. However, I recommend arriving 10 to 15 minutes early every time you ride. Right? Consider it an hour-long investment that for the first 15 minutes you can change into your shoes, you can put things away. Okay, so when you take the right, you go around the corner, and there are three benches, four benches, one against the window. There is a wall with earplugs, which I use religiously. There are two little areas for water. One on the right seems to be some sort of fortified alkaline water with electrolytes. Call it the Bondo station. And then there's on the left of that, there's two spigots for chilled water and one for regular water. And then to the left of that, there is, I don't know, whatever that thing is. And then there's kind of a candy jar full of earplugs. Then around there where the benches are, there are all these free lockers that you can put a wall of free white wallet lockers where you can put your stuff. And they're pretty big enough. Like I can bring a super big Filson bag or anything and stuff it in there, no worries. It's a combination. So when you go there, you find a locker that's open, you put your stuff in it, you close the locker, you set your lock to the numbers that you want to use, and then you turn it to the right, I think, and then you scramble the numbers using the wheels, and then you're locked until you come out and remember the number and then open the door and it's all good. Around that corner, well, right there are the doors to the studio. But if you go to the right of the doors of the studio, you can find, I think, two bathrooms. The shower rooms are closed and locked because of pandemic, because of coronavirus, COVID-19, and then you've got two bathrooms which have toilet and enough room to change in there if that's what you want to do discreetly. Lots of people do that. They come in street clothes, they change into their lycras or whatever, and then what I do is I come in. I sit on a bench 10 to 15 minutes early when nobody's there yet. And I'm a slow ass when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I just Take off my shoes, put them in the locker. I take out my headphones or my little edge headset, listening to podcasts on the way there. I put my phone inside. I always arrive there with my Garmin Forerunner 920 XT on my wrist and my Polar H10 heart rate monitor around my chest, and I'm already in my workout gear, which consists of a Pearl Izumi bib, riding bib, which has a padded crotch. And sometimes I even have a Boathouse or a JL Racing rowing trouse singlet or onesie or whatever they call it. I think they call it unisuit underneath my Pearl Izumi bibbed riding shorts. And I have a black t-shirt on top of that. I generally have a dry terry cloth cotton headband, which is much better than a buff around your head. The literal 1970s, 1980s cheesy sweatband does an amazing job of keeping sweat out of my eyes. And then I take off whatever street shoes I have, put them, like I said, in the locker, and then take out the black SPD riding shoes that I received when I did some sort of promotion when I first actually I started with CycleBar paying, and that's why they gave me the gift of a bottle and a pair of shoes. I got a special where I would get, I don't know, a week or a month or something, or a certain number of rides plus a pair of riding shoes. So street shoes and even running shoes, I'm size 13, but apparently in these specialized bike shoes, I was size 14. So be careful. Try out the shoes before you go into your ride. They might be sized too small for you. Okay, then you go at some point between 15 and 0 minutes to the ride, depending on the timing of the instructor. You're let in. They open the doors. You go in. You might actually be dealing with some traffic from the previous class, but I don't know. Maybe they've spaced it out more so that there's not that mixing, that everybody has plenty of space. I think that might be the case because I've never run into anybody coming out of a class anymore. So they might have fewer classes with fewer people in it, and each class only has 12 people. I'm bike 12 by the DJ booth. So you go through the doors and there's 12 bikes plus one, 13, the ride instructor. On the far end, there's a of the one in Columbia Pike, there's a DJ booth where all the tech stuff is held. And I go to the bike, my seat setting is 20, and then I bring the seat all the way forward and I raise the handlebars all the way up and all the way forward. So I've got a very forward position on the bike. The bike is a specialized AC carbon blue or blue carbon. It's top of the line Schwinn bike, spin bike. It's got a computer, and the computer has Polar compatible Bluetooth. I believe that the only chest strap that I found that works with the monitor, the computer on the specialized is the is are Polars, but my Garmin watch, and I'm sure your Garmin watch or maybe any modern watch, because the 920 XT is old, can find the power, cadence, and speed. Well, and speed of the bike as well. Or I just think the power. Maybe the cadence and speed on the new Phoenix, etc., but I don't know. And so I can wire that for sound. And now that the bikes are so far apart, I don't have to compete over which signal my Garmin is going to pick up. So Then you get on the bike and you have about 10 to 0 minutes to warm up on your own. So just start pedaling, 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 get comfortable. The instructor comes in, he or she, and or they, depending on what their pronoun is, and they say hello. They've got a little lavalier and they're mic'd. The music's loud. I put in earplugs every time. Generally, I can hear the instructor. And they're like, anybody here new? Any questions you have? If you don't know how to set up your bike, get there 10, 15 minutes early and someone will help you. Make sure you bring in a bottle of water or whatever type of fluid you want. I started for the first few years, I had water. And then I realized that I decided that I would bring a sports beverage in for my 45 minutes so that I would get replacement while I was riding, as opposed to waiting till the end. So I use some sort of combination of protein and carb called what is it called? It is called oh, I don't know. That is not where I go. Sorry about that. It is called Accelerade. And it's got a combination of protein powered sports drink. It's got carbs and all that other fun stuff. So it's orange. I like the orange one. So I mix it and bring it in my sports bottle, and that's good. So I have that. I have some buffs, some half cut buffs around my wrists. I have got the buff around my neck that I use as a mask. I've got a headband. It's a multicolor that I have a ton of them. And then at a certain point, they start the ride. And if you have the checkbox when you checked in to have your name up on the monitor, some people ride with the monitors, some people ride without the monitors, some people just use the monitors to do competitions, to try to get the class to bring the wattage up above 200 or 250 or 300, or to make sure that the revolutions per minute, the RPM of the of pedaling of the group as a total are 120 or 110 beats per minute, etc. So generally it starts out over the course of 45 minutes. The first 5 minutes or so is generally warm up. Warm up can include out of saddle, back in saddle, different types of things like up, down, side, side, 4 points where you kind of go north, east, southwest, or actually northwest, southeast, southwest, and northwest. And all these different types of things, you basically follow the instructor. However, most instructors, like Sandra yesterday, said that she just wanted us to follow the beat. She said it doesn't matter what it looks like, it just follow the beat and you'll be good. So, most instructors say just ride your own ride. And that's fine. And I'll tell a lot of the instructors that I'm going to ride my own ride, so don't mind me if I'm not following her instructions. And none of them care. I mean, they do care. They care that you're extracting the most value from the 45 minutes and the money that you spent and the value of the hour or 45 minutes that you spent and the out of your 23 hour and 15 minute other stuff day. So they constantly encourage you. I call them spin coxswains or ride coxswains because they constantly instruct you, etc. Some of them tell stories. In the middle of the ride, there's in like towards the end middle of the ride, there's some bar work where you have these bars when you go in, and you can they you know they make you do curls and tricep extensions and range of motion stuff for your upper body, but you're not even required to do those. You can just and then after that, they generally allow you to do kind of a free ride. But before that, there's a combination of, and you can tell it's genius. It's all high intensity interval training. There will be intense, when I say hill climbs, what I mean basically is ratcheting down the gears to a point where you have where it's very hard to pedal. And so they will make you grind out at very heavy resistance in your seat, which is really hard, and it actually gives you an amazing wattage, or out of your seat, or a combination thereof to kind of make the high intensity part of your training, or they'll bring you down what's called flat road, and that's at biker bar, that's between 3, 4, 5 on the gears, I think, or 4, 5, 6 on the gears are flat road. And at that point, then they will push you. And the music will all support these things. The music always is always the bed of every spin class, no matter where I've been. So they organize their playlists so that the beat and intensity, etc., of the music meets two or three requirements. One, some of the rides are titled after the kind of music that they play. Like one's called classic, others are dedicated to R&B and hip hop, other ones are oldies but goodies, some are 80s, some are tributes, etc. Some are Taylor Swift, some are 90s music, 80s music, 2000 music. Even I've been to one which is like 70s rock, which is pretty cool. And then then based on beats per minute. So as you know, EDM can go up to like 120, 130 BPM. It does so that's a sprint, man. Sprints can revolutions per minute can go 110, 120, 130, and the intervals are, oh man, we had a real jerky. It was awesome though. 2 minutes at the real long end, which is too long, all the way down to 15-second sprints. Generally, they're 90. I've done 90-second ones. That's not bad. Anyway, 90 seconds, 30 seconds, and 15 seconds. And they're really awesome. And generally, in order to motivate us, they generally bring the screens up and show us either where we are in the list, because if you have the check mark on, your performance is competitive in a list of 12 bikes. I keep mine off, but if they do another method, which is to show either the watts or the revolutions per minute, even the people who don't have their bikes listed contribute to the class rank. So I can't resist that, even though I tell my instructor that I'm following the Maffetone method and that I want to keep between 105 and 115. Oh man, I was up to 135 yesterday, and that's not that much, right? But it's a lot for me because I want to make sure that I get a healthy heart before I start banging on it. Other than that, after so warm up, sprints, hills, bar. Then oftentimes hills, no, free ride, which is where you go do your own thing, then hills, and then generally right before cool down, there's another two or three sprints. So that's one thing I don't like about Cycle Bar is there isn't that much time between a really intense, heart rate super high up final attack and when you stop your pedaling and do stretching exercises on and off the bike. So, but it's okay because I walk a mile home spiritedly and I track it on Garmin and on Strava, and I consider that 15 to 20 minute to 30 minute walk, I consider that to be my cool down, my active recovery. So I'm not bothered by that. I just don't want to hurt myself by not having enough heart, cool down transition. But that's how it is, and I don't mind it. And then finally, at the very end, you stop your bike. By the way, your gear lever, which is between your knees, is also when you press down on it, a brake. So you can brake your bike, brake your bike. I'm at 350 pounds. I'll brake the bikes. I hope they check on them. And then you do a number of stretches. You do a calf extension, a calf stretch. You do a back stretch, you do an arm stretch, you do a tri stretch, you get off your bike, you do you stretch your quads, you stretch your hamstrings, and then you say goodbye, and you they actually make people leave the class in order from bike one on to try to keep social distance. That's why I like bike 12 because I can kind of meander at the end. And when I go into class, I take off my sh I have overshorts, modesty overshorts. I recommend in both rowing on the river, rowing on an erg, and cycling, I recommend that you wear form-fitting or snug or Lycra shorts because when you jump in and off and in and off of the bike, you can have your bike, your shorts could ride down, your shorts can easily hook on to the nose of the saddle. It's just a pain in the butt. So I take my modesty over shorts off and then ride in my t-shirt and my Perlizumi bib, rowing riding shorts, riding trow, and that's it. You go out, I go ahead and I sit on when I leave, I sit on the far bench because I know that everybody's in and out like freaking like that, like that's a snap, they're in and out like a snap, and I don't get out that easily, so I wait till everybody clears out before I go and open my locker and change my shoes and wring out my headband. While I'm over on the faraway bench against the window, I take out my earplugs because there's a garbage can there. And the secondary benefit of putting earplugs in every day is it keeps my ears wax free. TMI. And then I think most people leave by the back door that goes into the garage, because sometimes they lock the front door when there's not another class in the future, right? And if I wait that long, generally the only way of exiting the building without getting someone to bust out keys and unlock the door for me, the front door, is to go out the back. But that's no problem. You can just go around, get out the front door. Generally, most people are going to be parked in there anyway, so that exit goes straight to the garage and good to go. That was the oh, and immediately after that, you are sent an email with your stats. So you get to know right away how many miles you went, or you get to know what your wattage is, or power, or ranking in the class, and all that other fun stuff. And there you have it. Hopefully that made it. Oh, here's another thing. The room is not filled with gazelles in spandex. There are lots of heavy set people. There are lots of men. There are lots of it's multi-culti. It's not ageist. It goes from early 20s all the way to I've seen mid 60s, 70-year-old. I mean, there's a lady there who looks very young. She's got gray hair in a ponytail and long strips. She's very pretty. But her kids are either in college or out of college in their 20s, something like that. You know, she's there. Like, there's people all the way. I think there are people in their 70s, definitely people in their 50s and 60s. So give it a go. Ain't nobody gonna judge you. Everybody's gonna be happy to see you. And even though there's only 12 bikes, in August right now, most of those bikes are empty because it's August and everybody's somewhere else and nobody's in town. So if you want to try out spin in an environment with very few fellow riders, some days, especially now in August, pretty empty, and they need your business. Okay, that's it for now. I'll be back right after this interlude and I will say goodbye. Talk to you soon. Bye. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that. That was much longer than I thought it was going to be. My name's Chris Abraham. You can find me everywhere at Chris Abraham on Twitter, fb.com/Chris Abraham, instagram.com/Chris Abraham, linkedin.com/in/Chris Abraham, youtube.com/Chris Abraham. I even think it might even be. I don't know. My HQ, my headquarters, is chrisabraham.com, and you can reach me at chris@abraham.su. Blah-dee, 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 blah. I think you can also call me and leave me a voice message. If you do that, it would allow me to play your questions or voice message on the podcast. So why don't you, let's try this out if anybody's listening. My number is a Google voice number, 202-470-3963. 202-470-3963. Leave a voicemail and I will try to bring it into the podcast. I hope you can export. Let's see. Voice messages. Can you export? Huh. Maybe you can't. Anyway, someone else tell me how best to do a call in. I will ask Nick the Rat. Oh, and on No Agenda Social, I am at Chris, CHRS. Thank you. Come back for the next episode. I have no clue what it's going to be about, but I'll talk to you soon. Ciao.